Posloucháte podcast Praktici. Uvádíme rozhovory praktických lékařů se specialisty v kontextu personalizované medicíny založené na důkazech. Zaměřujeme se na vzájemnou spolupráci, zakopáváme příkopy. Ke každému dílu sdílíme relevantní zdroje a odkazy na vzdělávací akce pořádané Institutem postgraduálního vzdělávání ve zdravotnictví.
Milí kolegové a milé kolegyně, vítejte u dalšího dílu našeho podcastu Praktici. Do dnešního dílu přijala pozvání paní doktorka Myrthe van den Breg z Nizozemí, která je praktickou lékařkou ve specializační přípravě a je zde na 14-denním pobytu, kdy navštívila 3 praxe lékařů v rámci projektu Hippocrates Exchange. Guten Tag, Myrthe.
Guten Tag.
We will speak English. So, what did you choose Czech Republic for your Hippocrates Exchange stay?
Yeah, thank you for inviting me for this podcast. I was really curious to compare the Dutch primary care health system to another country in Europe, and more importantly, not a Western Europe country. So this is a Central Europe country, and I got in touch with a Czech GP in training when she came to the Netherlands last year, and we got a discussion about the primary healthcare in the Netherlands in comparison to Czech Republic, and it was one of the main reasons to choose for Czech Republic as the focus for my internship abroad.
And what is your learning objective, and what are you focusing on during your 2 weeks stay in Czech Republic?
Yeah, I'm really curious how the primary care system in Czech Republic is organized, and it puts for me the Dutch primary care system in a different perspective. It emphasizes the qualities of the Dutch system, but also allows me to identify areas in which it could be improved in the Netherlands. So that's really interesting to compare. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult for you to get into this exchange program, or what procedures you have to follow to get in? Do you have to pay for this, or is it covered? Where to ask?
Yeah, so this was an opportunity for Hippocrates Exchange Program, and I sent a motivational letter and my CV to the organization. Then they will look for a possibility of a trainer in another country, and we met each other. And then you have to do a lot of forms. So the head of my institute has to approve that I could go. Then my employer, the SBOH, which we will talk about, had to approve that I was allowed to go here. And I had to write a lot of learning objectives. And with all those signs and signatures and approvals, I was recently allowed to go. So that was great. And to get a certificate for this program, I also need to make a final report about my findings of this internship. So there were quite a few hurdles, but in the end, it was not too bad to arrange it. No.
So you are expected to write a report on your 2 weeks stay in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
And how long is it?
It depends on all my findings, but my learning objectives was like one page, so I think at least a few pages more will are necessary to cover all my findings. Yeah.
Great. And so what did you find in your 2 weeks?
No, there are like a lot of things that are quite similar. So that's also interesting, but there are also a lot of differences. I think one of the biggest differences are the lot of preventive consultations you have. So you have those regular exams, the job exams, and also the pre-operative screening you do in as a GP. And there are a lot of things we don't do in the Netherlands. And I really liked this format of anamnesis, where in just one view you can see what is the history of the patient, but not only the history, also allergies, medication, also the job. Also, what about the family? And that's what I miss in the Netherlands. I think that's really, really interesting to have in just one overview. If you have a new patient, just one look. Okay, this is the job. What about his tetanus vaccination? Is it up to date? It's just in one piece of paper, and that's, I think, really great. We miss in our system in the Netherlands.
You don't have it?
I think we have it in the system, but all on different places.
Okay.
So I know where to find if the patient has allergies mm-hmm. and medication, of course. But for example, the job, there's no one specific place to put in what kind of job someone is doing. And I think for a lot of problems and complaints and diagnosis, it's really important to know what kind of job someone's doing. Mm-hmm.
We have a formalized entrance examination mm-hmm. when the patient's registered with us. We usually do entrance examination and we follow this structure. So what is his father like, mother, and so on. And mm-hmm. when it's done, we just only update it. So it's very good. So
yeah.
You don't have such an institute of entry exam?
No, we don't have a specific entry exam. Of course, when there is a new patient in your practice, you can invite them to come to get to know each other. And of course, you will have a chat. But there's no specific rule of you have to check those boxes and no special form. And I think that this specific form you do with every patient, so you don't miss anything. And it's really clear for every other doctor who sees this patient next or another time. Yeah.
We also get paid for this extra service, like fee for service, entry examination, mm-hmm. and we also get paid for the preventive checkups, which are to be done. People are entitled for this once a 2 years. Mm-hmm. Do you have preventive examinations in Netherlands in this way, like that you invite a patient to come here and we will follow the regulation and depend on the age, we will do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have it?
No. In the Netherlands, we don't have this regular preventive examination. No. Only if the patient asks for it, it's possible to do a preventive checkup. But it's really totally not regular to do this on all the patients. And also the government doesn't ask us to do this.
And what way are you involved in preventive measures, for example, screenings,
mm-hmm.
who organizes in Netherlands, or how the GP is involved in this kind of activities, preventive ones?
Yeah, you have national screenings, for example, breast cancer. The women will get a letter at home that they are invited for the screening from a certain age. The GP doesn't have to do anything with this breast cancer screening. Will not even get this result, only if the patient approves that the GP will receive the result. The same is in the feces occult blood. The patient will receive a letter and like pot where he can put it in and then send it just by the post box back to the institute who is doing this test. And also the GP is not involved. The only thing the GP is involved is the cervix cancer screening. Then patients are asked to do or a self-test. So they do a vaginal swab themselves. And then it will be screened if the HPV virus, the human papilloma virus, is present. If it's positive, if there is this virus, then they are asked to go to the GP to do a cervical swab.
Only if the papillomavirus done by themselves is positive?
Only if it's positive, yeah.
It's very innovative.
Yeah.
And do you trust this patient that they did it properly? And
Then there was a lot of research done if this is trustable, and it's trustable, yeah. And women can also choose to do a cervix exam by the GP directly in the first place.
So they can choose.
Yeah.
And what is the start of this cervical screening? What age?
The cervical screening, we'll have a look because all those ages differ in the Netherlands. But I think the cervical swab is 30 to 60, and then it's every 5 years.
Every 5 years?
Yeah.
And the FESES, facultative focal bleeding, start?
That starts at an age of 55 till 75, and it's every 2 years.
In Czech Republic, it starts in age 50, and you can choose either FOB or colonoscopy.
Even without the FOB, you can do colonoscopy?
Yes, directly, in first time in the age of 50, and if it's negative, then after 10 years again.
Okay.
And with mammography, we start at the age of 45. This is different from your...
Yeah, we start at 50.
50 with
mammography. And we end at 75. And we do it every 2 or 3 years.
So these three screenings are available in your country and nothing more?
For cancer, those are the three screenings. I learned that you have also the lung cancer screening.
Yes, and many more.
And many more, yeah.
For example, we are starting next year with prostate cancer screening.
Okay.
And we have also regulation which we follow, and we investigate blood sugar level,
mm-hmm.
and also LDL cholesterol can be examined. So are you interested in sugar if patients with no symptoms?
We don't screen it regularly, no.
Only no. If it comes...
With complaints or with complications.
Okay.
And if there is a high blood pressure, yes, then we do the whole checkup.
Mm-hmm.
But not regularly, no.
And for example, ECG, the first time we record ECG, like preventive way, it's 40 years. So no ECG to be recorded with asymptomatic patients in Ireland?
No, only with symptoms. Yeah, there are no asymptomatic ECGs done, only when it is necessary to do a diagnostic checkup. Yeah.
It's reasonable. I think if you follow Cochrane database, which provides evidence on preventive checkups, we are not so evidence-based like you are, probably, because there is evidence for only part of this, like regarding mortality rates and so on. So you are much more evidence-based, maybe.
Maybe.
And there is also much more trust in your country.
Mm-hmm.
During our discussions, we met it several times, that there is such a trust
in
your society. So would you tell us about more examples of trust which are in your society from medical point of view?
Yes, of course. So this was also a big difference between Czech Republic and the Netherlands, is that we don't have sick leaves. So when a patient or when a person is sick and is not able to work, they can think of that for themselves. So they can decide, is it for me able to work today? And then they call themselves sick with their employer, but they don't need a sick leave of the doctor. So they are trusted that they are do it only if they are really not able to work.
Do they cheat, your people?
Yeah, probably there will be cheated, but I think the system only works this way that that they are also trustable. Yeah, and it is counted how many times you are sick. So your employer will know, hey, this person is sick every two weeks. That's not really okay. We should have a talk, or we should have a look, like, why is this person so often so sick? So there is, people will look at it, but you don't need this sick leave.
And do you have any other example of trust within within your system? You trust women that they are able to perform this cervical
true. Yes.
Swap,
yeah.
And they do it properly.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And you trust people probably that they come if they have some problem?
Yeah, in comparison to the regular exams here, we trust people to come by themselves if they think it's necessary for complaints. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like high blood pressure or high cholesterol will not give complaints directly.
So how do you get the information about blood pressure if there are no preventive exams?
Yeah. During consultation, if it's necessary to measure the blood pressure, then mm-hmm. we can find it like at the spot, and then we will do a further examination. Mm-hmm. But that's more that we find it not because of we are looking for the blood pressure on itself. Yeah, just because people are sick and we want to know the blood pressure because there's a cough or there's a fever. Mm-hmm. And then we can find this blood pressure. And if there are other sicknesses or there is a family of history of heart attacks, for example, then we can do more preventive screening before. Yeah.
And do people come to your office and ask, doctor, I would like to know my level of blood pressure. Please do some measurements.
That's also possible. Yeah, okay. And then we will do. Yeah.
And you don't get paid any extra fee, or how is organized this payment? It is a good question to start with.
Yeah.
Because it's also different from our system. We discussed about the capitation fee, but there is a difference because you get an extra fee for each visit. Is it true?
True. Yeah.
Okay. And how much do you get paid for capitation?
Yeah.
And extra service?
So we receive 56 euros per year per patient who's registered at our office. And this
doesn't depend on the age.
Yeah, it decreases. It increases when the people gets older.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's age index.
Yeah, it will get higher if you earn more money. If you are older, you will get more money. Every consultation costs also money for not for the patient themselves, but for the insurance. So a consultation by itself, for a normal consultation, which is between 5 to 20 minutes, is 30 euros. That seems to be a bit too much for me. I thought it was around 10.
I think it's not too much. Because, for example, in Belgium, it's 30 euros for consultation. Oh. And as you are in other countries, probably it can be 30 euros.
Yeah. Oh, no, those are the
long consultation.
No, if you are not registered with your doctor, then it's 30 euros. Uh-huh. But if you are registered, then for 15 minutes consultation, it's 10 euros. Yeah.
And you get reimbursed any other fees? So there is a capitation, there is mm-hmm. a fee for visit. Mm-hmm. Do you get paid, for example, for vaccination or for anything else?
For some things we get paid. For example, if we do an ultrasound, that will be get paid more. Or if we do a surgical intervention, we will get paid more. But vaccination, when it's during your consultation, you will not get paid more.
So it's just a consultation.
Then it's just a consultation.
The same price, 10 euros.
Yeah.
And 30 euros if not registered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We can also have more money per consultation. For example, if we have a practice nurse who's specialized in mental health care, then per capita we get more money.
Okay.
Because of this special nurse. Yeah.
And how is the primary care in Netherlands now? How many GPs are on the duty and serve the population of 17 million of Netherlands people?
Yeah.
How many GPs do you have?
So the most recent calculations of 2022 were 12,000 GPs for 17 million inhabitants.
12,000 GPs.
Yeah.
So it's twice more than in Czech Republic. We are serving 10 million people. So probably many of them are only on part-time job.
Yeah, a lot of them work part-time. Yeah.
It's a new tradition started with a new young generation also in Czech Republic, that many young doctors are involved only for 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So the same with you?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of them work 3 days a week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what about you? Would you start a full-time job after you have graduated, which is, I think, in 11 months?
Yes.
You are now in the 25th month of your specialty training.
That's true.
So are you going to take part of?
I already now work part-time, so I do my my GP training part-time. I have 1 day a week I have off. So no, I really prefer this 1 week for 1 day a week for myself. So I think I will continue working part-time.
So now
part-time.
You are part of specialty training. You are taking part in specialty training and you work 4 days out of 5.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is it any longer this specialty training because of this?
Yeah,
it is longer.
But only like 6 weeks longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So you are specialty training, mm-hmm. but working as a GP. And could you please describe us how is your national GP specialty training plan like? How long is and how is composed of and what special internship you have to attend, and it's
yes.
very interesting because the length is the same
mm-hmm.
as in Czech Republic,
yeah.
but the structure is different.
Yeah.
So would you tell us?
Of course. So the specialty training to become a GP in the Netherlands takes 3 years. The first year you will spend at a GP practice, and you have 1 GP trainer who supervises you for this year. You do your own consultations, and every day you discuss your patient, your patients. You said you they were on your consultations. You talk with your supervisor about them. Then in the second year, you will have 3 types of internships. The first internship is emergency medicine, which is a half a year. You will work as a doctor at the emergency department. Then you have 3 months of psychiatry internship and 3 months of chronic illness internship. And most of the GPs in training work those last 3 months in a nursing home with a nursing home doctor. Yeah. So that's the second year. And then the third year, you will again spend 1 year at the GP's practice, which is another practice.
Another practice.
Yeah. Yeah. So you will have 2 GP trainers during those 3 years. So you can learn from different methods, different practice, different styles. So 2 GP trainers, yeah.
And how is the selection procedure organized? So did you choose your GP trainer or GP trainer did choose you?
Mm-hmm. It's a whole system. So you will get a list of 15 GPs, and you can search where
in your region.
In our region, we can search where they work, how the practice look like. Is it a solo practice? Is it a healthcare center where there are also physiotherapy and psychologists? In the Netherlands, we have a lot of these big healthcare centers. So this list of 15, you can rank from 1 to 15. And all the other GP trainees also make this ranking. And then a computer system calculates what are the best combinations. And then you will get a result of 4 GPs. And with those 4, you will have an interview. You will visit their practice. You will get to know each other. And then you can rank those 4 again. And then the computer system looks at the ranking of the GP trainee and at the ranking of the GP trainer. And tries to make the best match again. And then you will hope you will get your first choice, but the system can also make that your third choice in the whole group will be the best. So it depends on the group. as well.
Did you get your first choice?
I get my first choice, yeah.
For the first year?
For the first year, but also for the third year. And I'm one of the happy few, mm-hmm. because not everybody will get their first choice. So I'm
but there is also a condition that the trainer has chosen you. Because he followed your CV. Yeah. So there was a match because you were attractive for him. And he was attractive for you, like with ranking.
Yeah. So the GP trainee also, I think, put me quite high on the ranking.
So the trainer makes ranking?
Also,
of,
yeah.
Of 15 straight?
No, only of these four conversations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So great. It's quite sophisticated. And I think it's about justice. It's good.
Yeah. It's interesting that you can have those conversations, mm-hmm. instead of just getting put at one practice because mm-hmm. you're working quite close for one mm-hmm. year. We have this conversational learning conversation every day of 1 hour where we discuss all the patients. So yeah, every day 1 hour of quality time with your supervisor. I think it's necessary you have like a good connection with your supervisor.
From the beginning. And your trainer or supervisor, he's not your employer, because I am, as a trainer, employer of my training, mm-hmm. which makes a sort of dependency, which is not optimal. Mm-hmm. And in Netherlands, there is a non-profit organization with abbreviation SBOH,
true.
I was told, and this is national organization which is paid by state, and you have a contract with this SBOH.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so this is a national organization, and all the GPs in training in the Netherlands are an employee of this organization. But the only thing is, what they do is they pay and they make the rules for our like how the job look like. But the most of the time we spend, of course,
with doctors.
The practice. And that's also, I think, interesting. We have 1 day a week, we have an institute day. So we come back to the institute and we have this educational day where we have lectures and discussions with the other GPs in training.
And who organizes this day? You said it's Tuesday in
region? It's organized by
Who's responsible? And institute is owned or directly governed by this SBOH?
Yeah, the SBOH, I think, also pays for the institutes. We have eight institutes in the Netherlands, uh-huh. so also eight different regions. And as I'm in the region Utrecht, my institute is in Utrecht, and every Tuesday I will go to this institute to have my educational day.
Mm-hmm. And what about trainers? Are also trainers employees of this SBOH institute?
Yeah, the GP trainers are also paid by the SBOH.
They are paid?
Yeah.
And how much?
They are paid for every month about 800 to 900 euros.
So they get this salary teaching you, mm-hmm. but they get also paid as a, for example, office, GP office, for the consultations you have
true.
Made.
Yeah.
So there is an extra income for the consultations you made on behalf of the GP office of your trainer.
Yeah, that's true. But it also takes time to educate me,
yes.
and that's then the idea. And also this learning conversation of 1 hour a day. Mm-hmm. They themselves cannot see patients for that hour, so that's how I pay myself kind of back.
And do these trainers complain that we want more and more money for this responsible teaching of trainees, or are they satisfied?
Quite satisfied. Yeah,
quite
like
satisfied.
There used to be a lack of GP trainers, mm-hmm. but now there is a waiting list.
A trainer.
Yeah, to be a trainer.
And why is it so attractive?
Yes, maybe because it's quite difficult to get new employers in the GP's office. So there's a lack of GPs, and then this is a quite cheap working person,
force.
I think so. But I think it's also really nice to do. You learn a lot.
So they're enthusiastic.
Yeah, yeah.
People, the same with us.
Yeah.
So you're cheap. What does it mean to be cheap? So how much do you get paid? I'm sorry. I'm very direct.
No worries, that's okay. I will get paid about 3,000 euros a month netto.
And what about taxes?
And taxes, yeah, that's quite high, like 30%.
And this is paid by SBOH,
yes,
or by government?
Yeah, by the SBOH, yeah.
So it's very nice that you meet your trainer 1 hour a day and you consult, and they have a Tuesdays, like whole day. You meet together with your peers, like trainees.
Yes.
How many of you are with this Tuesdays events?
Yeah. Yeah. So my group of trainees this year is 12.
Mm-hmm. From Utrecht.
From Utrecht. So we're 12 GP trainees, and we have two teachers. One is a GP, and the other is a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole day we spend together, and the day starts with 1 hour of exchanging experiences from the practice, and we reflect with each other about what happened, and we ask each other questions like, why did you do this, and we help each other during this exchange hour.
Mm-hmm.
And after that we have most of the time a lecture by the psychologist based on communication skills. And in the afternoon, it's most about medical skills, medical knowledge, the lectures are about. Yeah.
So the communication skill is really important.
It's, yes.
The
yeah.
pillar of out of primary care.
Yes.
So
yes.
You practice. You.
We practice a lot with communication skills, and that's also.
That's good. We miss it in Czech Republic.
Yeah.
We have not specific training on communication skills. We would like to introduce it during specialty training, but I think it's really the most important,
yeah,
to be able to communicate.
Yeah.
We also discuss how it looks like these 3 years with exams.
Mm-hmm.
It differs very much because we have two exams, which first take place after 30 months,
mm-hmm,
of our certificate. Months lasting training, and there is a final exam, and there is nothing like that in Netherlands. So which exams do you have to pass during your specialty training?
Yeah, we don't have something like a final exam at the end of the 36 months, but in the first year we have to pass two video tests. So this first video test is mainly about our communication skills. So there's a checklist. We have to prove that we are manageable to do a conversation which really appears to this checklist. For example, do we really know what is the question of this patient? Why is this patient here today? And we have to ask also a lot of questions at the end. Is the patient really helped by this consultation? Can the patient move on? So all those boxes have to be checked during this consultation video test, and especially also like, did you put a lot of empathy in it, and did you ask about the emotions of the patient, and how did you do it? Did you do it on a in a good way? So that's the first test, and the second video test in the first year is about your medical diagnostical thinking. So you have to show a video, and then they are looking at, okay, if you have the complaint of chest pain, did you as a doctor ask the right questions to diagnose the right diagnosis?
So it's about skills and knowledge.
Yeah.
But the communication is awesome. The same,
yeah,
important.
Yeah.
And are there any more knowledge tests during this 3 years period?
Yeah, we have every half a year we have the national knowledge test. So since COVID, it's we do it from home. Mm-hmm. So you do it at your computer at home, and you have a test of 180 questions, and you have 3 hours time to fulfill this test. And it's not really that you're kicked out of the program if you your result is at the lower percentage in comparison to your peers. But if you are in the one of the lower percentages in comparison to the peers who are as far as you in the training, you will have a conversation with your coach at the institute. And sometimes you have to do kind of exercise, or you have to explain how you're going to fix this knowledge gap.
Yeah. So it's again about trust. You trust people.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that they would grow up earlier or later.
Yeah.
You support them.
Yeah.
You don't control them, as we do in this Austrian monarchy in Central mm-hmm. Europe, that everything must be ruled and mm-hmm. directed and controlled. I love it. It's really great. Is there any chance that you don't finish your specialty training, like being a trainer, and that you're absolutely unable to work as a GP? Does it happen?
It does happen. We have this evaluation moments every 3 months with the teachers from the institute and your own GP trainer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fill in this evaluation format where you have to score yourself on a 7-point scale, mm-hmm. different competencies, and you have to do this, but also your trainer and your teacher have to score you on this 7-point scale. And if there's if it doesn't collide, if it's not the same, then you have a discussion. And also, if the trainer thinks, oh, this is going totally the wrong way, there will be discussions with the institute, and you will get the chance to improve. But if at multiple of those evaluation moments you don't show any improvement, then it's also finished.
Yeah. It happens.
It happens, but it doesn't happen often. But if from more perspectives, the person shouldn't be a GP, then you won't get a GP.
Okay, and these activities are kind of EPAS, like entrusted professional activities.
Yeah, gotcha.
You score it yourself, and your trainer scores, and you try to match it.
Yeah. So
which are these 7 activities?
Yeah. So we have to score the 7 CanMed competencies.
CanMed competencies. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a competency.
So we can Google what 7 CanMed competencies are.
Yeah.
Okay. And these are your EPAS.
Yeah.
So you have some kind of e-portfolio where you score it.
Yeah, we have an e-portfolio. It's called Scorio. Mm-hmm. And there is all those competency lists are kept. Mm-hmm. And you can see your improval during time.
Okay. And how is it with the development? Like, for example, imagine that's just an image that trainee is like a man or woman which is to be trusted more and more step by step.
Mm-hmm.
And from the beginning, probably you are supervised, and after several months there is one kind of surveillance. It's like in Czech Republic, 30 months of supervision and then only surveillance. How does it go that you start with the patients and your trainer watches you and is in the same room all the time? How does it develop to unleash you?
Exactly.
Supervision.
Yeah.
So, too complicated.
Yeah, this unleashment goes quite quickly, I think. Like when I started in my first year, the first 2 weeks, you sit next to your GP trainer and you look how the consultations are done. And during those 2 weeks, sometimes you will do a consultation yourself, and then the GP trainer looks and sees how you're doing it. But then after, I think already a month, maybe earlier, you will have your own consultation.
After 1 month?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have your own room where you will see patients, and in the beginning you will have a half an hour per patient. So you will see 2 patients per hour. And then, if it's necessary to have direct supervision, you can call your GP trainer every time.
And he's in the next room?
Yeah.
So he comes immediately?
Yeah, that's possible. And if it's not necessary to have direct supervision, you will serve this case, you will keep it on a note, and then you will discuss it during this conversational hour, this learning hour, which you have one time a day. And if then after this hour of supervision there needs to be some changes in your policy, then you can call the patient.
Great.
Yeah.
So it's again about trust.
It's about trust. Yeah. If you think you need supervision, you call. And during this first year, it will evolve, of course. And now in the third year, I just started my third year, and in the beginning, it started quite similar. I was sat next to my GP trainer, but that was just for one day, I think. And quite quickly, I got my own consultation, my own room. And during this year, I will do more and more by myself, with less supervision. And then those learning hours are more spent by more and deepening of my knowledge. So not about specific patients, but more like about ethics or how is it done financial in the GP's office, more about management. Then you have still time every day to discuss some things with your trainer.
Mm-hmm. So let's go on to a new topic. I am interested if science methodology is taught during your specialty training, or is it mandatory to be part of research, to have a project, or to publish an article? Is it mandatory?
During the GP training in the Netherlands, it's not mandatory to do research.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to publish anything, but we are taught in science, and especially in how to read scientific papers, how to
understand
how the research is done, and to interpret the results. We are taught that, so that when you're finished, you can understand how papers work. And it's possible to do research, but it's not mandatory.
Great. I would like to point out that Merte attended the EGPRN course, mm-hmm. which took place in Prague. It is a 3 days lasting conference, and it's EGPRN is a group focused on research in primary care. And a very funny aspect was that there were many people from Netherlands, which she met in Czech Republic, and also keynote speakers was from Netherlands, Niet de Wijk from Utrecht. So she met her colleagues in Prague.
True. It was a really nice conference, yeah.
It was very nice for me too. I have an example of not trusting people, as we discussed many topics. And there is a difference to Czech Republic that also in Netherlands, patients need a driver's license certificate from doctors.
True.
But GPs are not trusted to provide this certificate to registered people. Patients. So would you tell us why you are not trusted to provide this certificate to your patients? And what age is the first time patients need it?
Yeah, that's true. Those checkup by a GP because of your driver license is from 75 years old, mm-hmm. and then it should be every 5 years. And your own GP is not trusted because you have like a connection with this patient. And you're not trusted that you will be really clear about your findings. So you maybe like this patient and you want them to get their driver license.
So you're biased.
You're biased, totally biased. So that's why an independent GP should do this driver license test.
That's really interesting. I didn't know it. So now I have a last question, because we were involved together in POCUS, like ultrasound. Also during the EGPRN conference, there was a course on ultrasound. And how is it with POCUS in Netherlands? You get extra payment for this, but you have to graduate from some course on it. How long is this course, and how many GPs are involved in POCUS
yeah.
ultrasound?
On this moment, there are not a lot of GPs who do ultrasound in a GP's practice. So I'm not sure how many GPs do have the ultrasound, but it's not really regular. But you are paid for it, and I think in the coming years it will be get more and more available in the GP's office. Yeah.
In Czech Republic, there are 10% of GPs equipped with a POCUS device.
Okay. I think in the Netherlands it's less at this point. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we are quite advanced and we like it. Started in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Mirte, I think that we have discussed a lot of issues. Many issues could be discussed, but we have a time limit, 45 minutes. And thank you for accepting our invitation. It was great, and really many information we got about the differences and what is common in Czech Republic and Ireland and about specialty training. And I hope we will meet again. And I really enjoy it, and my colleagues too, which welcome you in their offices. And dankwel and tot ziens.
Tot ziens, dankjewel. And I really want to thank you and all the other GPs I met during this visit for your really warm welcome in your offices. And I learned really a lot. So really thank you as well.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye.